Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I should have just hit record before, but now we're recording now because at some point I'll just hit the record button and you don't even know what it's going to be.
I like this. Let's get this like a level of unpredictability. It's just kind of, wow card, here we go. Actually, right, so we are recording now.
We're recording now. At some point in our collective banter on a web chat, I'll just hit the record button and then capture 30 minutes of whatever the hell this is.
I'll tell you what it is, mate. It's UBB. We are back.
We are back. I always wonder how much that's in sync because webcam stuff always gets in the way of things like that. But I think it's not. Come through all right.
It's not in sync in the slightest. Like to the point where I imagine that all of our listeners, they probably just are like, what are they actually saying?
UBB. We make it work. We do our thing. We've got some lovely artwork. And we do each week, we just ask everybody for whatever their thoughts are on the gaming industry, whatever's on your mind. Could be food based. I had a lot of food questions. Left, right, and center, alongside some different things in regards to the Star Wars licensing deal changing, EA being taken off, it being given to Ubisoft and various different devs. So we'll just dive into stuff. Thanks to everybody for submitting so many questions.
Scott, mate?
They don't know who you are. They don't, do they? They might be brand new. I'm Scott Tailford, sort of half host, don't know what it is. You're also Mr. Jules Gill.
No, you're full host. I'm dry toast. That's how it works.
I'm the man who mines the take trough and sort of extracts the opinion gems and some sort of other RPG reference because that's all life is now. But anyway, first question from Andrew J. Did Bayonetta 3's reveal even happen or was it a collective fever dream?
Like, it's so weird in, like, the constant ever-shifting nature of the gaming industry that some games will get announced and everyone will be like, oh, that's amazing, that's so good. And then it's just, like, 2 weeks later, not even a week later, some people would be like, wait, what? Wait, did that actually happen?
In Bayonetta's case, they put the little CG thing out where it was, like, Bayonetta shooting some guns, and then that was it. That was all we got. I think we got a logo, and then there's been nothing for 2 years? 3 years?
We've had about as much of that as that other Bethesda project. What is it called? Starfield?
I thought you were going to say Elder Scrolls 6. But
both about the same, really.
Yeah. Obviously, that's the thing. I mean, Metroid Prime 4, when Nintendo announced that, like, we got the logo for it, and we know that it's coming. But it's just, I don't know. I go back and forward on how early devs or publishers should announce stuff. I like being hyped. I like knowing what's coming. I like sort of sketching out how the year is going to look and stuff. But if the actual reality of the development is that they just have a logo and then a couple of board meetings, that it's not really much.
To me, I'd rather have much more content to get hyped about because it's like, oh, cool, you've got our hopes up. Mm-hmm. But at no point does it make me want to buy the system that it's on until I see more of it. So it's kind of like a failed exercise in marketing. Mm. It's like, yes, there is interest, but at the same time, that interest is going to cool off rapidly if you don't actually give us something to sink our teeth into. Yeah. I mean, you can go the other way and obviously spend thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on CGI material and then have it lead to absolutely nothing beyond Good and Evil 2.
Jules Gill, I hate CG trailers. I hate them. I just don't see the point.
I hate CG trailers, but ones that masquerade themselves as being gameplay trailers. Assassin's Creed.
Killzone 2, looking at you.
Boo yeah, ones.
I
mean,
CG stuff and live action stuff. I'm just like, this tells me nothing. I get that you've taken the beats of the story, but I need to know something else. Next question from Cameron Lester. Brilliant name. I love Cameron Lester. Big Cam Lester. Who says, has a video game ever revealed a hidden fear that you didn't realize you had? This happened to them while playing Maneater, as once they got into the deeper open sea part of the game, I noticed I felt very unnerved and had to stop playing. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I remember when I played Baldur's Gate on PS2, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. Mm-hmm. And literally when I saw the spiders in that game coming at me, like they were a lot bigger. Yeah. And I'm not a spider man anyway. And so when all the spids came at me, I freaked out. And that I just killed them. I killed it with fire and I moved on. And then that feeling didn't get rekindled until Skyrim did it, because everything has physics in Skyrim. And so when those spiders, when you kill them, they go all limp. And oh, God, even thinking about that is killing me.
So I'm actually afraid of stuff in game that I'm not afraid of in real life.
Okay.
Like I used to spend tons of time in the water. I used to do like surfing, skimboarding, all that sort of fun stuff. Mm. And I used to just love being in the ocean. But whenever I play a video game and it has an underwater section, like Grand Theft Auto 5, when you're doing your scuba diving stuff and stuff like that, like I get so unnerved so quickly, because it's like, in the deepest oceans, you can't see that far below you. And that is genuinely creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But in these video games, because of the draw distances or however they program them, they don't have the field of view. So your stuff comes out at you and it's really terrifying. Like even when it's not meant to be, like loads of people, I watched tons of videos, because when we started doing loads of content for GTA 5, it was looking for secrets that were hidden underwater. I had to watch so many videos of the secrets, and every single one, I'm like this. I'm like, I know you guys can't see me, but I was like wincing. Just wincing. I was like, oh, it's like, there's going to be something. Oh, I don't like it. There's going to be something that's going to come out again.
Well, I looked at, I don't know if you played Subnautica, but I haven't played that. But
no, I haven't played any horror game that involves being underwater, because I can't do it. It freaks me out too much.
Because like Subnautica gets referred to as like an underwater No Man's Sky, which would get me running in if it wasn't underwater. Yeah. But there's like this big creature in that game. I think it's called the Leviathan, which is absolutely humongous. And the sub is like a speck next to it. And that thing, I've seen some screenshots of it where it's just, you know, the sub is tiny in the foreground and this massive creature is just kind of half darkness, half eyes, half tentacles, multiple halves coming at it. And I just looked at that and I was like, I don't want to be anywhere near that thing. Like, just keep me away from all underwater creatures. So yeah, I guess we just hate water. And I just thought of a spider underwater, and I was going to say collectively we're terrified of water and spiders. And then I thought of a spider swimming, and need that,
like,
ever.
Like those water boatmen when they scuttle across the tops of ponds. Get away, mate.
A little bit cute when I was a kid, but like a full on big, I guess it's kind of like an octopus is kind of like an underwater spider in a way.
It's even worse when you realize it's got a beak. Like used to crush clam shells. Octopus or like squids have like a beak, don't they?
Kind of like a kraken.
So like it wouldn't just like grab you and pull you down and drown you. It would then bite into you with
like
a beak.
A Metroid. It just sort of gets on you.
Get your bloody bird nose out of me.
Next question from Matt Lewis. Now, I did bring some older questions in because we get so many submitted. Thank you guys so much. So I bring some across week to week. So this one's from Matt Lewis. I think it's from last week, might be from the week before, who says, hey guys, do you think a Captain America standalone game would be successful? Something similar to the Arkham series. We did get the Captain America movie tie-in game, which I feel like I'm the only person on the planet who really enjoyed that.
I never played it. What was it like? Talk to us about it.
Well, the thing is, he's mentioning something similar to the Arkham series. The Arkham combat is just what any third-person action dev goes for if they're doing a tie-in thing.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man games adopted it really well. I know that the comparison between that and the Arkham games, they tried to downplay quite a lot, but it does operate on a similar mechanic. Mm. And I feel like Captain America would fit very well into that. The issue is, I think, is that Cap's a leader of a team, and yes, he's great at combat, but the game would have to be much more action-centric. I would think that it would more fall into the lines of like the Warhammer 40K Space Marine video game. It would work in that sort of like setting where it's just like him, here's a war, go do missions in this war. Like an open world scenario of the Arkham games probably wouldn't work for him as well, because it's like, what would it be? Him out of touch like all the time? Again, like, how does this work?
Yeah, like just picking up different parts of the environment and not knowing what any of them are. I think for the movie tie-in game, like I love throwing shields. Like I love doing it in Destiny. I love doing it. It's the only thing I love doing in the newer Avengers game when you play as Cap. I'd rather throw a shield than throw like a spear or something. I love watching a shield just bounce off stuff like Frisbee style.
Yeah,
and that was the coolest thing in the movie tie-in game. So I think for me, it would be coming up with some way to do like really cool shield, like reflection-based or refraction-based tech where you're sort of like bouncing, you're lining up different angular shots so that you're getting three or four guys and then catching it again with a different button press or something like that. Maybe you could catch it in midair or something like that.
I tell you what they should do then is they should completely abandon any idea of making this into a semi-realistic like Arkham City style game and actually do like a Hotline Miami top-down thing where you basically do Angry Bird style, choose the angle and the speed of and the strength of your pullback, and then he just wings it through, and you just got to see how many enemies you can kill. Like Pinball meets Captain America with this shield.
I would 1,000,000% take that. There'd just be so many severed heads and just Peter's limbs at the end of Kill Bill.
If you did that, right, put it onto mobile games, you'd probably make a killing because it would just be like a really simple thing.
Yeah, there was a thing that came out recently and I can't think what it's called. Like, it's called like Blade Game or Blade Dodge Game or something like that. It's probably not called that at all, but there's something really similar that came out where you're playing as a dude and you have to avoid a bunch of buzzsaws and there's tons of them and the levels are like you get 20, 30, 40 buzzsaws and you're trying to walk in between them.
Super Meat Boy.
A little bit. It's sort of just like 2020 the game. And like that's the whole thing. But like if you inverted that so you're actually controlling the buzzsaws, that'd be cool. Next question from Aaron Hayes. More for you, who says, what are you painting lately?
Oh, what am I painting? I've
What's your painting? What are you buying?
Well, what am I buying? So recently in my, what were we on, the fourth or fifth lockdown now? Here in Wales,
Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly, yeah, the sequels just get better and better. We're on
lockdown harder.
3D realms of it being unfunny now. So I am painting up a Space Wolves army at the moment in my lockdown. And the last model that I'm working on right now is from the Indomitus box, the Captain. I'm just looking at him now. And I painted a librarian and I'm about to paint a massive tank. And then I'm stopping. I've been painting pretty much like every day after work and whenever I can for maybe about since September. So I've got like a full force nearly ready now. And I'm going to take a break from painting because I'm getting sick of painting blue, red and yellow over and over and over again. And I'm just going to get back into my other love, which is video games. I'm going to be playing tons more video games. So I downloaded, I know this question is about what am I painting, but it's actually leading into what am I about to start playing.
Yes.
Downloaded Doom Eternal,
good.
Enter the Gungeon, Observer. I'm playing through Void Bastards still, which I still think is pretty decent, and Sunset Overdrive. I'm going through all
That's such an old school pull. Sunset Overdrive is like getting such a revival at the minute because Xbox is lacking in exclusives.
Well, with this, you and I have spoken about it a long time, like quite a lot actually, about how could you have a launch title that was bigged up so much that pretty much every single person who bought an Xbox One kind of had to own because of the limited library that was there, and yet nobody played Sunset Overdrive. Jet Set Radio Future with guns. Like, I don't understand how that concept didn't
anything with sliding, grinding, like the in Journey when you slide down the big sand hill, like right at the beginning, give me a whole game that is that mechanic. Like, me and my wife are playing this game called Haven at the minute, which is about a couple that escape like a Logan's Run style. It sounds like a Logan's Run style dystopia. And then they try and set up their own, and they sort of flee to a different planet and they're sort of trying to survive together. And we're at the very beginning of that, but they're sort of describing where they've came from and stuff. And that game's main mechanics when you're running around, well, you only ever walk or you sort of glide on these little air boosters. And you can like carve and go left and right and sort of like bank and follow different air pockets and stuff. It sounds more kinetic than it is because it's more of like a story driven collectathon type thing. Yeah. But I love the idea of it. And I don't know if you played Airblade on PS2.
I was just about to say Airblade. that literally pops into my mind. I was like, that is another like unsung hero. Yeah. Because that actually had a story mode that was actually pretty decent. Yeah, it was about like your brother had been kidnapped by a secret shady government officials and that you had to like take him down.
I don't remember that at all.
I might be completely like having a fever dream here, but I swear that actually happened.
And I don't remember that at all. That's
damn,
cool.
A sports action game that actually had a pretty decent story. Hell yeah.
I just remember it being, because I played it with a friend. I just remember it being Tony Hawk's with a hoverboard and just thinking it was cool. Anyway, less of a
story. Sorry, I was totally off track there.
you might as well, if it's a strand, pull it in. Next question from Tom Hunter. Haggis, yes or no?
For me, no, because as a vegan, boo. I'm sorry, guys, boo. I know. I don't want to eat a pig's stomach, but...
I don't know what it is. I'm not going to lie. I will make you laugh of how thick I am. I thought for a second it was a fish.
That's not thick at all, because you know what it is? It sounds made up when you actually find out what it is.
Right. Yeah,
it's basically like it's offal inside a sheep's stomach. That's what
right,
haggis
okay,
is.
That does ring a bell.
That sounds like taking the piss if somebody was just like, oh, you want to try some haggis, mate? Like, but your thing of like, it could be a fish. There's things called like fish like breams, you know, like
the thing
guppies.
Is, now like, that I'm thinking about it, I did know that now that you said it. I just, when I read the question, I was like, oh, the weird fish thing? But it's because I haven't had much of it. I did have some haggis at Rachel's wedding, which was brilliant. That was the first time I ever had it. So I have had haggis.
Okay,
so I guess
and
it would be like...
down.
It was all right. I'd still prefer like a regular piece of meat. I don't know. I think that I get caught up in the conceptual philosophical nature of what this thing is. I can't divorce that. Like black pudding. I can't divorce that from the fact that it is clots of blood. I can't get away from that.
But that's the thing. So because when I used to eat meat, like black pudding, like blood sausage, whatever you want to call it, like that literally was like, yes, put that on, make sure that is on my breakfast.
Right.
So do like that. Mm. Did not rate haggis when I had it.
it's a weird thing, and the name is cooler than maybe it is.
I'll take the other Scottish cuisine of battered pizza over that.
Yeah, or just battered Mars bar if you're gonna go down
right.
that alleyway.
Right. Okay. Here, settle the debate for me. How far is too far when you go to batter something? Like the thing is, because I like deep fried pizza. Everyone lost their minds about that. They were like, that's way too much. But I was like bad Twix, bad Bounty.
Deep fried Oreos are a thing. I mean, I don't.
I want to find the absolute madhead who has had a battered crunchy bar. I want to know what happens to it. I want to know what happens to it like underneath that pressure, because obviously it's honeycomb, so it would melt, you know, like.
The thing is, batter itself, you like, unless you get it as sort of like random little bits alongside a set of chips or something like that, mm-hmm. like it's okay, but you couldn't just eat batter. You can't batter. Like that would be too far, where it just implodes. It's not nice. It's just a stodge.
I wouldn't even be surprised if there's some restaurant batter. Out there that sells like batter balls, if you know what I mean. Like if you literally just take your dough, you batter it once and you deep fry it again, so you get like the batter balls.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, actually, I don't know if our other listeners around the world would know what the hell we're talking about. To batter something isn't to attack them, which is another way of saying it in English, but it's to dunk stuff in like a deep fat fryer to sort of cover it in like a layer of fat that's mixed, that just becomes a batter.
Yeah, because you get your flour dipping thing and your eggs or whatever, you make a little sauce or batter thing, and then you just dip it all in and then just chuck it in the fryer. It's the simplest way, but
it
tastes so much better.
Yeah, whatever it does, it makes it better. And then obviously you can, I mean, well, I'm sure we'll get all sorts of batter-based questions for this time next week with all sorts of corrections. Back to video games though.
Sure.
Something that happened this week was the Lucasfilm Games new initiative, that was the initial name of LucasArts. Those dudes are back. And part of that whole initiative was to take the Star Wars exclusivity deal away from EA and redistribute it among other developers. Good. So something else that came from that whole mandate was Bethesda / Machine Game doing an Indiana Jones game. And there's also Star Wars stuff being scattered around, one major project being that Ubisoft are doing a Star Wars game, an open world Star Wars thing. We got a couple questions about that. One being from Pinky, given that the Star Wars franchise is chock full of icons, is that why Ubisoft and their formula has been picked for an open world game? I mean, I guess so. I guess there's tons of stuff, rebel icons and everything else.
It would make it is such a rife universe to just basically just take any corner of that galaxy, of any of the known universes in the Star Wars fandom, and just be able to tell unique stories. And that's the best thing about it, is that it's so creative. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see with this new deal as to whether or not they're going to start saying that some of the video games are canonical, or whether or not they're actually always going to be kept apart. Because do you remember with Star Wars Battlefront 2, they have the single player that actually was considered canon.
Yes. Everything for now is considered canon, as far as I know.
But I know they have the big reset on it, so I don't know if they're going to do another reset with this one, maybe. I don't know.
Well, when Disney took over and started signing all their deals, the big reset thing was like in 2011-ish? 2012, 2013?
Yeah, I think so.
And then everything since then, as far as I know, has been canon. And then they're doing, on the movie side, they're going to go back a couple hundred years, do all the High Republic stuff again.
Yeah.
But like Disney's version of it, I guess. And they're keeping some of the legend stories. It's a whole thing. It's literally just, it's a business, just thinking, what's the most money we can make?
Because I remember doing a list on Shadows of the Empire,
I think.
Yeah, where Dash Rendar is the hero, and they were saying that like he was canon, and then George Lucas or some other thing said he wasn't canon,
Disney,
and then it was
yeah.
saying that he is canon, and it's just like, does he exist? Does he not? He's like, he's Schrodinger's Rengar.
They'll bring him back. They reference him in Battlefront 2. You can get his pistol, which a lot of people were like, oh my god, it means so that he's there. Like, so he's there somewhere.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I'm just very excited, just to quickly cap this off, very excited about any sort of like change up to the formula for that. Mm. I'm not saying like EA did not do a spectacular job, but with Jedi Fallen Order and obviously Rogue Squadrons, like they've done two very good games at the tail end of their exclusivity. And it's just a shame that they had to wait so long or took their times dragging their heels over such awful game practices previously to get to where they should have been at the start of this.
It's so weird. I mean, Jedi Fallen Order is easily the best thing under the EA banner, and that was just because it's Respawn, who are a brilliant team. But then EA didn't uphold their end of the marketing budget and gave away the Vader twist in the middle of the Super Bowl. So it's like, for me, it felt like a bunch of the corporate leadership just being like, well, yeah, we'll market it, but like, we don't want it to succeed like we do with Battlefront. And then Squadrons, the budget is like, you can tell there's budget there, but the menus are pretty terrible and pretty basic. And it's like, cool, you guys just got this through. Like, you were barely supported.
They almost shadow dropped it as well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was talking to you and it was like, there's a new Star Wars game. Like, when was that announced? Like, okay, cool. Right. Here we go.
I think on EA's side, their marketing needs to live up to the fact that it's Star Wars, like, do it right. We had a couple other questions for the Star Wars stuff. We can do them pretty quickly. One from Connor D. What do you make of EA no longer having the exclusive Star Wars games? Does this mean there's no sequel to Jedi Fallen Order? And will there even be future Battlefront or Squadrons games? They have since said that they'll continue making games. It's just that EA are, you know, in amongst that maelstrom alongside Ubisoft and Bethesda and whoever else.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Also, a question from StarHunter49. This was Ewan's question, our Ewan, when they initially broke the news. If you could have any studio to make a Star Wars game, who would it be and what genre?
Oh, this is always a tricky one. I mean, I would always love to go and take it right back to Dark Empire, where it's like the first-person shooters, Doom clone-style ones. I want to take it all the way back to that.
Why can't I think of it? Is that Dark Empire? I can't think of it. It's the one that became like Jedi.
Do you know what? I actually had to do all of the Star Wars
Dark
games.
Forces.
Like, Dark Forces, that's it. I had to do every single one for a recent video I did, what every Star Wars fan thinks of every Star Wars video game. And it was impossibly draining. And by the end of it, I was like, I don't remember any of these games, even though I've just like sat down and played through half of them and researched the other ones.
Because I love Jedi Academy and Jedi Knight. So for me, it would be something like that, something that brings back the thing that I think is missing in the video game industry, because I'm writing at the minute, games that the industry doesn't make anymore. And I feel like in the 2000s, there was this big push towards, you know, we discovered Havoc physics and we had, I remember seeing it in Hitman 2, bodies like slumping off the side and items rolling down hills and stuff like that. And you sort of see Havoc physics sometimes when people die in a game or whatever. Most stuff is canned animation. But there was a time in the 2000s when we totally embraced that, when like I said, Hitman had it and PsyOps, the Mindgate Conspiracy had it and Half-Life had it, and like Max Payne 2 brought in Havoc physics. And I kind of want a game that just embraces that stuff. Like, let me pick up any part of the environment and just twat it off some dude's head. Like, I just want to pick stuff up and throw it, which definitely. You could do a bit of it in Control, but it's not anywhere near as much as there was back in the 2000s. So I would have something...
What was it called? Jedi Unleashed, Star Wars
Force Unleashed. Yeah, Star Wars Force Unleashed.
Which had it.
That totally had it. My bugbear with that game was that you threw too fast. I couldn't, like, every time you throw, it just goes like ping. And I was I want to see it. Like, I want to throw a stormtrooper through some glass and then I want to pick him up again and throw him a different way.
And now he's like on the other side of Endor's moon. Like,
just sort of with the Euphoria engine hanging on to the planet. So I would give it to that would be my genre, but I don't know who could pull that off the best. Really, someone like Volition, I think.
That would actually be a great shout. Mm. I'd actually go for Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racing. And I'd get that made by the Burnout devs Criterion.
Yeah, with the takedowns and the side swipes.
The customization of all your pods. Like, that would be bliss.
Because they just re-released Episode 1 Racer on Switch, which is such a solid game. Yeah, it runs faster than ever. Like, it's brilliant.
A solid 60, isn't it now?
Yeah. It's ludicrously fast, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I really like it. But we were talking before we were recording about Wreckfest, the game from a couple of years ago. Did a pod racer game with real physics and, like, you know, you take someone down and you see them go spinning off and all the parts fly off and everything, that would be brilliant. I would take that in a heartbeat.
So good.
I don't know who makes Wreckfest, but maybe give that team a pod racing game. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, that would actually be great.
Next question from Will Barker. What's the funniest story of us two working together?
Oh, bloody hell. I mean, I guess it'd be any of the chatty faces, the amount of times that you and I have just absolutely lost the plot trying to do it. Like, I don't know if anyone actually understands the filming process for chatty faces. It's obviously
take out more outtakes than we leave in.
Yeah, man. Like, but we get in there usually, like, I say, like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we film, and we're usually out at about sort of like 11, 10 past 11. Mm-hmm. In that hour, we're only doing like, you guys know, like 7 minutes worth of content, like, or 10 minutes.
Full hour.
No, but we take that long because we're just having a massive banter and we're dressing up, using props, doing loads of stuff. And like, I miss that so much because it was utter insanity. And so the takes that you see, we're us just basically in the very few moments of lucidity before we just went off the rails again.
They were great. I mean, when we started recording it, and then it was like adding, like saying to Rich, like, you should subtitle like the off-camera banter stuff, because it made it more funny. And obviously, we haven't been able to do an authentic chatty faces with obviously the ongoing situation.
Yeah.
But it would probably just be stuff like that. I love when we do the news and stuff. I love just cutting you off when you're in the middle of a point, and then we just have to roll with it. It's just like, yep.
But that's the fun thing, is that we always just bounce off well of each other. I've always found that working with you is the easiest like thing I've ever had to do in this job, because it's like your knowledge base is insane, and the fact that you can carry any conversation just means that I'm just there for the ride. I'm like, I'm basically, if Scott is a giant rocket that's heading up into space, I'm the guy who's tied a lasso around it and it's just holding on for dear life.
I do need that person though. I need you to be there to sort of keep us on a particular trajectory. Without that, we wouldn't be going in the right direction. But thank you very much, that's lovely. Same to you, obviously. We've been working together for the longest time outside of like me and Josh or Ewan or whatever.
I can tell my favorite Scott story though, if we've got time.
Bring it. Of course you do.
So on your stag night, when we all dressed up as you. And do you remember this?
So we all dressed up as
Scott, and he didn't say anything for maybe a good like 45 minutes. We're all like gesturing to what we're wearing. And then eventually you looked at us and you're like, you're all dressed like me. And we're like, and then you said, without missing a beat and then sipping a pint, you just went, I just thought you'd all dressed up smart for a change. That just killed me dead. Absolutely got me dead.
You guys, quote unquote, dressing up as me was wearing like a checkered shirt and a band shirt underneath, which me. But I couldn't tell. And to me, in my mind, I was like, well, that looks really good. You guys have all, you know, sort of got your band shirts back out. Oh, that's good to see. Bit of the old Blink-182. And so funny. And then just, because I remember remember that some people had fake beards on that night and other people didn't. So I sort of noticed them a little bit, but not fully. But yeah, brilliant stuff. We've done very well, me and you, Jules Girl.
Definitely.
Next, a question from Zulmax Zamluz. It's okay. Zulmax and then Xamluz. Oh, you know, Zulmax Zamluz. When are we finally going to get remakes of Xenogears, Valkyria Profile, Parasite Eve, Legend of Dragoon, Legend of Legaia, or any other underrated title of awesomeness? When, Jules Gill?
I mean, as the gatekeeper to all of these titles, clearly I have the answers. But I have no idea, man. Like, it's one of those things where, like, we can't even get a Dino Crisis remaster off the ground at the moment. We're trying our hardest to get, like, if we can get...
Or Kane or anything, Legacy of Kane.
Yeah, if we can get the big boys, like, up, then it just proves more and more that there is worth in bringing these guys back. Like, it genuinely sucks that some games will forever be console-locked and, unfortunately, fade into obscurity because they're only going to be supported by diehard fans, which aren't going to be replaced, you know? But... Mm. It's like me thinking about how sad I get when I know I won't get Vagrant Story ever remastered.
Right.
Like, that game is an unsung classic. The reason I don't is because it didn't sell well in the first time. That's why they didn't do a sequel. Mm. And it's just like, there are certain games out there that are like masterpieces. But I guess it comes down to the old saying of we should be grateful for what we had rather than risk damaging it by transferring it to something else that doesn't suit it. Like... There was a time and a place for those games, and it might have been perfect for us. So let's keep it that way.
There's an ongoing sort of conversation around the amount of remakes, reboots, re-releases and stuff like that, where it's like, oh my God, if we could only get this again. And it's that whole thing where it's like, would that game even work right now? Or are you chasing recreating a feeling that you had at the time because you were a different person, the industry was in a different place, mechanics, you know, in terms of what was popular and what we loved at the time were completely different. Something like Legend of Legaia, which I really liked, that game's combat would not hold up now and the animations would not hold up now. And as much as I love it, and I used to love Grandia too and all those old school, I still love turn-based RPGs.
Yeah.
I don't think if you just drop them remastered over, like, you know, give them new skins or whatever, I don't think they would work. It would have to be completely rebooted. And then the money would be too much and something like that. The solution for me is just to re-release, just put it out again.
That's the problem, is that when it comes to the point where, like, okay, say this wouldn't work for today's audiences. So then the developers have to go, right, let's change this then to actually fit what people would play today. Mm. But as soon as that happens, like you say, the budgets balloon. And the only way to recoup those losses is to make them more mainstream as possible to make sure that they actually get that back, which threatens to change the entirety of the tone of what that game was about. But there are people out there, and I'm not saying I'm one of these, this camp, but they don't like the Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's a brilliant game, but they don't like the fact that it changes the story so much. It's definitely going off on its own tangent and it's trying to be its own game, but
I definitely grappled
with
that too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one to deal with. And it's like the fanboy in me just wanted a 4K, completely up-resed, exactly the same game as Final Fantasy VII. I ain't going to get that. So, but do I dislike Final Fantasy VII Remake because of what it tried to do? No, of course not. I think it's a fantastic game. It's just... Yeah. One is one and one is the other.
I think if you're going to bring something back, the middle ground is almost what Activision have done, where you take the DNA of the originals, you overhaul it visually, but you do hybridize all the mechanics that came from the sequels and put them back into the older ones. Like Tony Hawk's is perfect. You bring in the manuals and stuff, the reverts and the wall jumps and stuff from the later games, but you put them in the original too, and then that revitalizes the original too. And obviously there's Crash and Spyro and stuff, and Crash Team Racing with online multiplayer now. Stuff like that, you know, there's things that you can do to sort of modernize them a bit, but I think you need to do something to do that. It's not just enough to re-release it.
But notice that the games that have done really well in the terms of those remasters, outside of the exceptional big bloated one, have been that they have kept their experiences similar, and they were very simple experiences to begin with. You've listed CTR, like that's a kart racing game, and they had the code available to then just like start going from scratch from there. And it's the same with the Tony Hawk games. It's a very crystallized, pure experience that they only really had to do quite minor work to get up to scratch with what we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But, like, I can't really think of many other games that you could put in there because they would have to change so much.
Yeah, I mean, one of the last ones would be Metal Gear Solid, which just it keeps going back and forward. Like, there's not people complain about the original Metal Gear's control scheme. I guess that's just jury's out on it. I was always totally fine with it, but obviously they changed it going forward and stuff. But like, that's the whole thing of like those old 90s games. Like, yeah, maybe they do just need a visual touch up, and then you sort of re-release that.
See, but Metal Gear's a touchy one for you though, because if they ever did the remake of that, would they base it off of the original, the Twin Snakes experience?
They'd probably just re-record everything again. I mean, it's been the actors have been the ones involved in the Metal Gear, it was the 25th anniversary project that Jordan Vogt Roberts was putting together, the director of the new movie. He did a whole thing where he got the actors back in and stuff. So the assumption would be that those original recordings aren't high quality enough to, actual recording quality wouldn't be enough to sort of like do a 4K version of Metal Gear. So I think you'd have to go back and do it, which sucks for me because I love all the specific intonations, the specific ways that those characters say things. And I noticed that in Twin Snakes. I was like, well, that's not how Campbell says, God damn it, Snake, or whatever.
Like, it's almost like they're admitting that it was a mistake to say it that way the first time around. And that always is a bit like, okay, but it's iconic.
Twin Snakes was like Kojima getting his George Lucas on and making it completely changing the feel of it. I didn't like how Twin Snakes became like an anime, even though I don't mind anime, obviously, and Metal Gear becomes an anime, but the original Metal Gear Solid was like, you know, gritty and serious. And it could have happened, man. It was that close. And anyway, next question from Ewan Callister. Lads, what character would you like to see in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? Note, it must be a video game character, so no Goku.
Easy pick for me. After just completing the Resident Evil 5 playthrough with Kirsten over on the gaming channel, it is Albert Wesker. How awesome would he be?
Around.
If he literally, if he just went up and just like, crash, and just did the Panther Fang move that he does and just went bam, and just like knocked somebody straight off. That'd be brilliant.
My shout is always Doomguy, because they keep making Doomguy more lovable and cuddly. And it's weird. I think you can go too far. I wasn't massively behind, not that I have a problem with it, but I'm not caring to buy it either. The My Little Pony skin that you can get in Doom Eternal.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't need him in that, but I will take him in Fall Guys. Like, there is that rounded aesthetic. Yeah. I think you can sort of make a Fortnite version of him, which I don't want.
It's going to happen.
It might happen. I don't know. Like, but if you did
Fortnite can smell a penny, they're going to be like on it. They'd be like, yes.
And they sort of rounded out Kratos as well. I had Kratos in Master Chief doing the high fives. So probably.
Would you put Kratos in there?
You might as well. I mean, Kratos was in Shovel Knight, so it's like you can make him fun. You have to do old school Kratos because I think he's more mature now, although it is the older one that's in Fortnite. But like the version that's in Shovel Knight was just him being big rage face. He just has a big angry face and he fights you because he's angry and that's it. You don't need much else.
I'd like to see the Chosen Undead from Dark Souls in Smash Bros. That could be quite fun. Imagine using the gimmick could be like you have a bonfire in the level that you literally kindle that powers you up, but you have to get to it like it's a fixed thing. That could be quite fun.
I would take that. I don't know how long we've gone for, but I think it's about half an hour.
I'm
going to carry the remaining questions over to you next week.
Okay, sure.
But we will end on one from Stuart Potter, who says, seeing as the content that you guys have put out helped a lot of us through the year with COVID and lockdown, thank you very much. What has helped you guys cope with the current situation? Hope you're both well and healthy. Love the content. He's loving the hashtag content, mate.
Thank you so much, mate. That's very, very kind words there. Really appreciate that.
As you mentioned, you've rediscovered a bunch of games that you've downloaded. Mine would just be instruments, just guitar, keyboard, learning how to actually make my own synthwave music, that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that this has been the year of the hobby, hasn't it? Last year was the year of the hobby. Like, you had to stay indoors, you had to stay safe, and what better time than now to use that time to either learn a new skill or perfect one that you're already good at. Like, I've been saying before, painting, doing lots of DIY around the house. I have to give a massive shout out to Kerry as well, because she kept me sane throughout all of this, like, with her support, which is great. Mm-hmm. Having cats helps. definitely keeps you sane on that front. But
I really want a cat. I want to get a blue Russian or a Russian blue.
Oh yeah.
That's what it is.
I don't know what breed it is. I think it's called a ragdoll. They're very big, very fluffy, and it has very big like ice blue eyes. And it's up the road from where Kerry's mum lives, and it's called Wolfie. And every time you see it, just goes like, it's like, what a ledge,
I have to get a specific type because I need the hyperallergenic.
Oh yeah, because you're allergic to cats.
Because I'm a wheezy boy. Yeah, I've got the asthma kicking in. So it's like, if I get most breeds of cats will just make me clam up and just sound horrible, like I'm in a wind tunnel. So it's like, I need to get a very specific type. But I was going to mention that I took up a bit more of sketching last year. I got like a little journal and I said at the beginning of the year, well, it was about March, April-ish after the initial lockdown. And I was like, like, I'm going to make a sketch of every game that I beat, just sort of have it, have this living journal of That's everything that so I'm cool. doing. And then I didn't do it. I sort of did it for the first like couple of months, and I've got Ori in there, Ghost of Tsushima I started, Super Liminals in there. But I like the idea of it more than actually doing it. But maybe I'll take it up. I've stuck with the instruments, though. I just like the idea of outputting something tends to be quite therapeutic.
Definitely, anything that's creative definitely helps get you through, because it not only is usually stuff that takes a lot of time, but it also helps you express what you're sort of feeling. Like, if it is anger, if it is like pain that's like going on from the last year, then it's actually a very healthy way to exorcise that from your body, to just, you don't want to be holding on to it. And even if it's just writing down your thoughts in a journal, even if it's just like scribbling some like images on a page, or doing something like that, or even if it's something that takes your mind away from it, like for example, the Warhammer stuff that I keep banging on about, it's meticulous. You have to build it, you have to paint it, find it. It's concentration, but it removes you from the situation from a little bit, and it can help you just sort of like de-stress. So yes, to anyone out there who's looking to pass the time, just seriously consider hobbies. Don't just sit around watching TV. Like it will make you stew. Go out there, do something with the time that you've got.
1,000,000%. I think engage again. It's fundamentally creating something, focusing on a specific thing, a project, whatever, multiple days long. Doesn't have to be amazing. Doesn't have to be something incredible immediately. But putting those things together just engages a different part of your brain, snaps you out of being stuck doom scrolling or thinking about the same stuff or looping around on those things.
You can be, and it is very okay to be bad at something creative when you start. No one is good at it.
That's the fun bit.
I would recommend to everyone listening, if you're looking for something but you're not entirely sure where to start, cooking is the best place to start, because not only are you able to then dictate what food is going into your body, you get to basically try new recipes, you get to learn new skills and basically like fundamental stuff, which is really important. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're also rewarding yourself by basically cooking yourself a nice meal at the end of things. It's great.
Yeah, I'll also shout out, because we've been making, it's Joshua Wiseman. I just Googled his name, his recipe for garlic bread, not sponsored by the man whatsoever, but amazing garlic bread. We've been making this dude's garlic bread. There's a video called Perfect Homemade Garlic Bread. His second one, there's three versions. His second one is the one that you want. Anyway, for now, this has been the Untitled Banter Podcast. Thanks everybody so much for sending your questions in. And we'll be back this time next week. So we'll put another call out for questions probably on next Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you can send it to whatever's going on in your lives. For now though, I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me, mate.
I had to fight saying this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. It's been a version of that, the Untitled UBP thing.
UBP.
Till next time, catch you then.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.